Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Is the Chicken Big Mac still a Big Mac? It's got two chicken patties, the pickles, the lettuce, ooh, the cheese, the sesame seed bun, and it's got the sauce. It's not a Big Mac. Get it while you can. And participate in McDonald's for a limited time.
So let's talk about these deductions, if we can. Some of the deductions that people can take.
And obviously the sneakers is not one of them.
Sneakers is not one of them. Sneakers
is not one. My uniform code, come on.
That is not your uniform. It's not a uniform. Okay, so let's talk about, first before, let's get Troy's sneakers out the way.
Thank
Troy,
you.
Let's talk about how you can make that as a business owner a deduction. If you purchase a pair of sneakers and you put your logo on them, then you can now write them off. Like, I've seen you guys with EYL sneakers before.
I mean,
that can now make it a tax deduction, right? But you cannot just purchase sneakers, when you were an employee and just be like, oh, because I went to Foot Locker and I brought these sneakers, they are now a tax deduction, right? And that also goes with clothes. So a lot of people will say, well, how can I write off this clothing? So you can write off, you know, clothing that you purchase. However, you have to stitch your logo in it. And it also can't be excessive. Like, you can't say, oh, I'm going to go out and buy a Gucci shirt and then I'm going to like put my business on there and then I'm going to be able to write it off. Right. So it has to be reasonable. You purchase a reasonable shirt. You want to, you know, put your logo on it. You can then, you know, write that off. So that's how that works. All right. But let's talk about expenses, right? What does it mean? Because I do get a lot of outlandish requests and inquiries about what can be written off. And keep in mind, guys, there's hundreds of things that can be written off. This is like the number one question that I get all the time. So I like literally wrote a book about it. Like, there's hundreds of deductions I wrote the book because there's literally hundreds of deductions that you guys can write off, right? But let's talk about what classifies something as an expense according to the IRS. It has to be an ordinary and necessary expense. Ordinary meaning ordinarily in your industry, people are spending money on it. Necessary meaning that it is necessary for you to spend this money or incur this expense in order for you to operate your business. Okay, so just to get that out the way. And I always say to people, when you want to start talking about how outlandish the things are, right? Think about if you were sitting across from an IRS agent and you had to explain to them, like, yeah, I needed to purchase this, right, in order to make this happen. Like, does that sound logical, right? Because sometimes people will try to take it to the moon. And I'm like, yeah, no, let's keep it, you know, let's keep it reasonable. That is what the IRS is all about. Things being reasonable and you being able to, and you having your documentation, okay? You need documentation. So let's just talk about a few very popular expenses. So your CPA services, I put me first just because I need you guys to understand that you need a CPA and you need an accountant. And an accountant is going to be able, yes, you'll have to pay your accountant, but it is a tax deduction, and then they should also be able to save you money. So it is a win-win. So any legal services, education, so you guys are going to conferences, investing in your education, purchasing books, investing in mentorships, like all of these things are tax deductible. Why? Because it is a necessary expense in order for you to develop in your business. And that's what I love about business, right? Like we get to really invest in ourselves and it's a tax deduction. So consultants, meals.
So hold on for a minute. This is for business owners only, right?
This is for business owners only.
So if for a business owner, if you were going to InvestFest, let's say, right, and you buy a ticket to InvestFest, and then you know the travel, of course, you got to fly and get a hotel, so you can deduct that.
Absolutely, you can deduct the ticket purchase, the flight, the hotel, the meals while you're there, the transportation, getting to and from. Absolutely,
because it would be for the betterment of your business. You're there and you're promoting your business, you're marketing, you're talking to different people, so. You're right. That's why. Yeah.
And only thing you need to do is you need to keep confirmation that you purchased your ticket. Obviously, and a good thing about all of these things is they're digital, right? So you keep that, you keep your hotel record, and obviously all of your receipts, and it is a tax deduction.
Okay.
Another reason.
There you have it. So you wasn't at InvestFest, you played yourself. You double played yourself.
All right. So consultants, you said consultants.
Yep. Consultants, meals, travel. So business travel, though. Let's talk about the meals. Okay.
Because there's some let's explain that. Yeah.
Let's explain meals. Please. Okay, guys. Meals, you can write off 50%. Here's the idea. If you are having a meeting with a client, the IRS says, hey, you can write off, in no way are we paying for your meals, right? But you can write off 50% of it because the idea is that you are having dinner with clients. And then if you are having dinner with clients, then, you know, their portion is deductible. Yours is not. So that's why you can write off 50% of your meals. So 50% of your meals can be deducted. I want you all to understand that this line item is, and thank you, Rashad, for making me go back to this, because this is one of the highest audited line items. And the reason why is because people are like, Rashad, like, oh, let me get that receipt. You have to keep your receipts because the government is like, okay, well, we know, I'm going to tell you, it is the highest audited line items on a business owner's tax return is meals, travel, and vehicle. Okay. And the reason why is because you need extensive documentation to support these things. And when I say extensive, I mean that it's a lot of small transactions, right, that equal up into this big transaction. So for your meals, you need to hold on to your receipts.
So for the receipt thing, though, because most people are not going to carry their receipts. So what's the best option outside of that? Is it to use a credit card, a business credit card, where it can track your transactions?
Or is it an app? I know sometimes people mm-hmm. use an app that takes a picture of the receipt and now it saves it for them digitally.
Absolutely. So it's both. So let's just talk about when you go out and the receipt and what it should have, right? If you have a meal, the receipt that you have. So let's talk about the receipt and then let's talk about how to actually hold on to the receipt and what you need to do. Sure. So for the receipt, right, the receipt needs to have the date, the amount, who you went to dinner with or lunch with or whoever, like who was the client, who did you go with? What did you guys discuss, right? So you need to have all of these things written down. Like you need to know all of these things. And what I do is when I get the receipt, I'll say, okay, I went out with Rashad and Troy. You know, this is what we, you know, talked about. Like, this is what, you know, like we were meeting to review taxes and then, you know, then all the date, the amount and the place is already on the, it's on the receipt, right? So you just need to identify, like, what was your business reason for being there? That's the only thing that the IRS wants to know, right? What was your business reason for being there? So then from there, Rashad, to your point, you have to hold on to those receipts, right? So you have to hold on to those receipts, but not everyone is going to be able to hold on to a physical receipt. I'm one of those people. Receipts, they crumble, they fade, they're all over the place. So what I do is I take a photo of them. I'll take a photo of them in my phone. And then what I do is in my accounting software, so I use QuickBooks. So QuickBooks has a feature where it allows you to upload the receipt and attach it to the transaction. Mm. So that makes it really helpful to do that. Or if you're a person that, you know, let's say you want to upload into your Google Drive, or, and you know what's so crazy, Troy, you gave me that idea one year when you were like, I was asking you for a receipt for something and you were like, oh, let me just go back in my photos and I could just look in my photos because it'll match the date. And so now I give that strategy out to everybody. So thank you, Troy.
Just doing what I can. Just doing what I can.
Thank you. Because a lot of times if you, let's say you'll know when the transaction happens. So if you put the date in the search bar of your phone, you'll be able to pull it up. You'll know exactly who you were with, why you were there. You know, you should have a photo in your phone of the receipt. I wouldn't say don't keep the photos there, right? But originally take the photo in your phone and then, you know, attach it to QuickBooks or upload it in a Google Drive, like whatever your process is, figure out the process and stick to it.
Yeah. I would just add to that. What you're saying is 100% factual. Having documentation is super important. The last thing you want to see at the end of a year, especially if you're a business owner, is uncategorized transactions. It's the most tedious thing you ever have to look at. You don't want to do it. So the best thing to do is make sure, just document it. When you're doing something, document it, label it. When you send the money, just label it. It's going to save yourself a lot of time and energy and hassle. So just document the process.
He's speaking from experience, guys. He knows. And then try to do it on a more frequent basis. Like now we're like sending over those uncategorized transactions over to you guys like every 2 to 3 weeks. I know, Trey, I'm so sorry, but it makes it easy to file the taxes later.
I appreciate y'all.
No problem. All right. So let's talk about some deductions, right? Let's talk about some other deductions. So we're clear on that, right? Yep. If it is deductible, I mean, if it is ordinary or necessary, you can expense it as a business owner. All right. So now let's talk about what I want to talk about is the shifting of expenses from your personal over into your business. And this income, this expense shifting really is just saying, hey, these are expenses that you're already utilizing in your business. So if there's expenses that you're already utilizing in your business, how about we, you know, switch those like over to your business because you're utilizing them. So let's talk about the infamous. Let's take it back real quick. Let's talk about vehicles. Let's take it back and let's start out there. So with a vehicle, if you are leasing your vehicle or if you are financing your vehicle, there's still an opportunity for you to take a tax deduction. So if you're leasing a vehicle, and guys, keep in mind, because I get this question all the time, in order for me to write off my vehicle, do I have to own it? The IRS does not care who owns your vehicle. They don't care if it's you or the business. What they care about is your business use of the vehicle. Okay, so if you have your personal vehicle and you are utilizing it for business, you can still take the tax deduction. Okay, so if you're leasing the vehicle and you utilize the vehicle 50% of, you know, 50% of the time for business, you can take 50% of the lease payments, fuel, repairs, registration. You can take all of those expenses up to 50%. Right. So if you're financing the vehicle, then we have to do what's called depreciation, because now that's an asset. You own it. You're not leasing it and renting it. Right. So you're owning it. So you have to do what's called depreciation. Depreciation, all depreciation is the process of being able to deduct the value of your asset. That's all it is over time. And the IRS says what that time is. They determine what the time is. So they say, okay, well, they'll say a vehicle can be depreciated over 5 years. They'll say a cell phone can be depreciated over 5 years. A home can be depreciated over 27 and a half years. So the IRS gives you what that looks like. So there is no guesswork. So what happens is if you do have a vehicle that you're financing and you utilize it 50%, then you will your depreciation. So let's just say you had a vehicle, $50,000. What will happen is that you'll be able to depreciate 50% of it. Right. So let's say the tax deduction should have been $10,000 because you divided by five. What would happen is that you would be able to take a tax deduction of $5,000 in depreciation expense on top of your fuel and the maintenance and all those things. Right. That wouldn't change. But it's just about how you treat that actual payment. If it's lease versus if it is finance. Now, let's just go back real quick. Let's take it back. 2019, we talked about 6,000 pound rule.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, I broke down how if your vehicle is over 6,000 pounds, that you would be able to write off 100% of it. What happens now is you only can write off 60% of it. So let's just talk about why and all of those things.
Let's do it.
So in 2019, we were still in the window of being able to write off the being able to write off 100%. So the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act implemented what's called bonus depreciation. Bonus depreciation started on November 27th of 2017, and basically it's going to go all the way into 2027. However, as of 2022, that was the last year you'll be able to take 100%, right? So that's the last year you'll be able to take 100%. Every single year after that is going to decrease by 20% until it phases out. So what that means is in 2023, you only can take 80%. In 2024, you only can take 60%. So if any of you are new to this conversation about bonus depreciation and writing the asset off and, you know, all of those things, and what happens is, you know, you miss the train, but you didn't totally miss it, right? You're still here. You can take 60%. You just can't take 100. And so next year it'll be 40%, 20% until it completely phases out in 2027.
So for 6,000 pounds, if you buy a car, a SUV, and it was started by George Bush, I think, originally, mm-hmm. to give incentives to the gas companies,
yes.
because SUVs obviously use more gas. So he wanted to incentivize people to buy SUVs. So they started mm-hmm. a rule, the 6,000 pound rule, right? So, mm-hmm. okay, if you buy a car that's over 6,000 pounds, let's say a G-Wagon, right? It's over 6,000 pounds.
Yes.
And let's say you buy it for $200,000, right? Mm-hmm. So now you buy a $200,000 G-Wagon currently in 2024 is 60%, and then in 2025 is 40%. So mm-hmm. what does that actually mean? Because most people aren't going to pay $200,000 cash, but let's mm-hmm. say hypothetically they were. Let's say hypothetically they paid $200,000 cash, and let's do what most people would do. They would probably finance the car, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Or lease the car, finance. So let's kind of explain like how, what is 60% of your car payments? What is it?
It's 60% of the value because it is an asset. So because it is an asset, what happens is that you are able to deduct the value of the asset. So to your point, if you finance it, it is not the payment, it is the asset value. So if, let's say in your case where you just mentioned someone purchased a G-Wagon, it's $200,000. In 2024, they'll be able to take $120,000 tax deduction, right, against their income. It is now going to, it's a line item. They can take that deduction. Now what happens is the remaining $80,000, they'll depreciate it over the remaining 4 years. Right. So now that will just be a tax deduction that they'll receive over the remaining 4 years. So $20,000 every single year.
Is the Chicken Big Mac still a Big Mac? It's got two chicken patties, the pickles, the lettuce, ooh, the cheese, the sesame seed bun, and it's got the sauce. It's not a Big Mac. Get it while you can. And participate in McDonald's for a limited time.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.